Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the messages it has for us. Lord, I ask that we'd learn from your word today and would see what you have to say to us. I ask you'd bless it and use me as a vessel fit for your use to utter thy word. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I noticed, and I guess it hits every person that ever looks at this psalm, is the story of the blessed man. What is the blessed man? And who is the blessed man? And that's what I'd like to look at first, the blessed man. The first verse says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. First of all, the blessed man is a godly man. He's not an ungodly man. He walks with God. He tries to do what God has for him. He tries to look what God has to say. He doesn't walk with the ungodly. He doesn't think the ungodly way. He's a godly man. And another thing you'll find about the blessed man, he loves God's word. He loves God's word. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, how much different would our lives be if we learned to meditate day and night in the law of the Lord? How much different would it be if we learned to live day and night just thinking about what God wanted and what God said instead of what we want and how we said it and how we thought we could do it? Jacob lived all his life and he schemed his way. God promised him riches. God promised him prosperity. God promised him a nation that come out of his loins. Yet Jacob tried to do it his way, and God had already promised it. If he had meditated on God and let God do it, he'd have got it anyway. And he worked all that time. He sweated. He slaved. He struggled. And yet, God would have given it to him anyway. We need to take our time and let God have his way in our life. We need to meditate in God's law, in God's word, day and night. The Bible says Jesus would go out at night and pray all night long. And yet all day long, Jesus walked and he always talked about God. God's word was his meditation day and night. From the very time he was born, at 12 years old, he astounded the doctors in the temple because he knew God's word. He meditated in it day and night. That was his life. That was his love. He loved the law of God. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. But Jeremiah found the word of God and he ate it. He chewed it. He digested it. He let it flow into his system. He let it transform his life. He let it change it. He let it have a part in his life. He let it grow in his life. And it was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. It filled him with joy to love this word, to know this word, to be able to eat it, to be able to understand it, to be able to study it. It was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. Let me ask you, is this word the joy and rejoicing of your heart today? Is it the joy and rejoicing of your heart? If you want to be a blessed man, blessed of God, happy, let this word become the joy and rejoicing of your heart. Let it flow through you. Let it come in and digest it. Make it a part of your system. Bring it into you. Love it. Meditate in it. As Brother Martin said, or I think it was Brother Martin, he was talking about the cow. He's chewing his cud. He's meditating. We need to meditate on God's Word. Sure, we probably all read it in the morning or at night sometime, but do you think about it all day long? Is it the joy and rejoicing of your heart? Is it what keeps you going? Does it give you joy to make it through the day? We need to make God's Word, and the blessed man will make God's Word the joy and rejoicing of his heart. He'll meditate in it day and night. And you'll find that the blessed man not only loves it, not only rejoices in it, not only meditates in it, but he reads it and obeys it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed is the man that reads and obeys. Blessed is the man that'll hear, that'll come and listen and sit down and take what God has to say. Blessed is the man that'll listen to what God has and then do it. Blessed is that man. He's happy. You can be happy in the Lord by doing what He's got for you to do. Blessed is the man. Luke chapter 11, 27, 28. And I really got a blessing out of this as I thought about it. Jesus was preaching and talking to the people that followed Him everywhere and the great crowds that gathered. And He just finished talking to them and teaching them different things. And a woman cried out, and I don't know how often things like this happen, but it's at least listed this one time. Verse 27, it came to pass, as He spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto Him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. A woman cried out, Blessed be your mother. Happy is your mother. Blessed of God is your mother. And I guarantee you, Mary was a blessed woman. When the angel came to Mary and he said, You've been blessed of God. You're chosen. Thou hast found favor with God Almighty. You've been favored of God to bear the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of your people Israel. Yeah, Mary was a very blessed woman. But I want you to look what Jesus had to say about it. But He said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Hey.
Blessed are those. You're a more blessed person. It's better for you and for every one of us if we will take God's word and put it in our heart and keep it. Live by it. Love it. That's even better than being the mother of Christ. Being the very mother of the Son of God. You know, there are religions that they go around and they worship the king, the queen of heaven. They worship Mary as the one of the greatest people that ever walked the face of the earth. But I want you to know the person that'll take this word and know it and hear it and listen to it and put it in his heart and keep it. He's more blessed than Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. He's more blessed. More blessed. Now that's a sweet thought. There's not a woman in here, I don't think, that wouldn't feel greatly rejoiced and greatly happy to bear the Christ child. I mean, what an honor to be chosen of God to bear Jesus Christ. And yet it's a greater honor. It's a greater blessing to know this word, to love this word. The blessed man is greater than that one. Another thing about the person that knows this word, the blessings of it, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17, you'll find that a blessed man gets revelations from God. A blessed man, as he studies, as he listens, as he follows, as he tries to do, as he tries to understand, he'll get revelations from God. It may not be so much in a crash of thunder or a crash of lightning, but in chapter 16 of Matthew, in the 17th verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The man who studies in God's Word, who follows and tries to follow after Jesus, will get revelations from God. You don't understand this book just by reading it. The Bible says it's spiritually discerned. It has to be a revelation from God. It has to come through the Spirit. You have to understand it by the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God moves upon this assembly and souls are convicted and lives are changed and people are saved, it's the Spirit of God that showed them the Word of God. Showed them how to believe it. Showed them how to understand it. It was a revelation from God Almighty. But Jesus said, that person's blessed. He said Peter was a blessed man because a revelation from God Almighty had come upon him. Blessed is the man that the Spirit of God showed His Word unto, that'll open it up and make it clear. Yeah, I want you to know that this Word of God will make a blessed man. Make a very, very blessed man. Then the blessed man is one that trusts in God. Puts his hope in Him. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 says, Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Do you trust in Him today? You know, it says the just shall live by faith. But you have to trust God to live by faith. Do you trust in Him today to take care of your life, or are you worried about it yourself? Have you been worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? Are you trusting the Lord to take care of it? Are you trusting God to be your stay, your hope, your financial condition, take care of everything for you all the way down the line? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, that trusts, confides, leaves it all into Him. If I trust my Father for something, I let Him handle it. I give Him the responsibility for it. I let Him make the decisions. I trust Him completely. We need to trust God that way. He's our Father. And He said, I'll take care of it if you'll trust me. If Israel would have trusted Him all the way throughout the past centuries of their history, that had been a great nation all the time. I believe Solomon in all his glory and all his kingdom was the greatest nation on the face of all the earth. David and Solomon trusted in the Lord. They trusted in the Lord. They were blessed men. I guarantee they were blessed men. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man that has enough faith to put his faith in the Lord just by knowledge. John chapter 20, verse 29. It's the story of Thomas. Thomas had doubted. He said he wasn't going to believe till he saw it with his own eyes. He said he wasn't going to believe that Jesus Christ had risen. I think every one of the disciples came to that point at one time. And when they were all together and Thomas was with them finally, Jesus, I guess almost as a rebuke, but also as a promise and a warning and a reaching out to others. He said, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The blessed man is one who's trusted God just on his word. Noah was a blessed man. He took God's word and built an ark. And God saved him and his house. Noah was a blessed man. Moses was a blessed man. He took God's word. He took God above everything else. He put his faith in God Almighty. He trusted him. He looked into to a God that he couldn't see, and he saw him that was invisible by faith. By faith, they became blessed men. Blessed men are faithful men. They're men who put their faith and trust and hope in God. They're men who without evidence except the faith in God's word, will put their faith and their hope and their trust in God Almighty. That's the blessed man this morning. A blessed man is one that's been forgiven. Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. Psalms chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered. The person is blessed whose iniquity has been not imputed to him. The Lord will not impute iniquity. The Lord won't hold anything against me. Then I'm a blessed man. And if you've been saved and washed by the blood of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've had the righteousness of God placed within you by the trust and the salvation of Jesus Christ, then you're a blessed man because the Lord will not impute iniquity unto you. You've been washed clean, righteous, holy before God Almighty. Without guile, without sin, without iniquity, you're a blessed man. And that's a blessed man. I want you to know one other thing about the blessed man. Back to Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3. You'll find he's planted. He's firm. He's stable. He's unmovable. He's rooted where he's at. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But I want you to know he's like a tree. The blessed man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's down, it's got its roots down into the water where there's an unending supply of water. Where the leaf doesn't ever have a chance to die because it's right there where the life is at. And we think of water as the Holy Spirit. Think of the tree as us. We've been grown. The seed's been planted and we're the tree that's grown up. If you're planted by the Spirit and the Word of God, the water, and you grow up, and that's where you reach out and you get your life. And that's where you reach out and you get your food. That's where you reach out and you get your sustenance from that river, from that water, from the Word of God. You'll not be moved. I guarantee you it's a whole lot harder to move a tree that's planted by a river than it is one that's planted in the desert. They grow up bigger. They bear better fruit. They grow longer. They last longer. They get their roots further down. They don't have any problems. They can sustain themselves throughout long droughts because there's a river. There's an ever flowing life going by. The Word of God is an ever flowing life. And blessed is the man that's planted by the Word of God. Blessed is the man that loves His Word. Blessed is the man that'll stand and put forth his roots and his reason for living, his trust, and it put everything out into that river to live by that river. All the roots from that tree will go down to the river because it's planted by the river and there's the life. Brethren, here's the life. The life's in this Word. And we need to come to that point where we'll be planted by the river, planted by the Word. Put our seed in this Word. He won't be moved. Psalms 112, verses 6 and 8. So 6 through 8. Psalms 112. Psalms 112 also talks about a blessed man. Starting at verse 6, it says, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemy. But one thing about the blessed man, one thing about the man who's got his roots and his life inside the Word of God, and by the river that flows with life, he's not going to be moved. He's established forever. He's not going to be moved. The word of God is unmovable. It's not going to pass away. And I guarantee if you get your life from here, from this river, from this flow, from this life-giving source isn't going to run out. This life-giving source is eternal. It's going to last longer than this world and this heaven. And you'll last with it because that's where your life's at. That's where you put your faith. That's where you put your trust. If you put your trust and your faith in the Word of God, you're going to last longer than this world. But if we take it out, what have we got to live for? We'll be just a scrawny little old tree somewhere out there. We'll burn up when the drought comes. When the fire comes, it'll burn us away. But the river, the tree that's planted by the river, the Christian that's sunk in the Word, is going to last through fire, tribulation, storm, trial. If you want to last throughout this life, if you want to have victory, if you want to have glory, if you want to have the gold and riches that God has to give, if you want to have the gold and silver and precious stones and not the wood, hay, and stubble, get planted in the river. Get planted by the river. Sink your roots in where there's life. That's a blessed man, my friend. That's a blessed man. Then in verse 1, back in Psalms chapter 1, I'd like to look at three different things in the first verse. The walk, the stand, and the seat. The walk, first of all, can be ungodly or godly. But I want you to know a walk, whenever a person walks, he heads for a destination. And when you walk there, you're going to make a stand. You're going to do one thing or another. You're going to make a decision. You're going to make a stand. And after you've made a stand, you're going to sit down. There's a time to walk and there's a time to stand and there's a time to rest, to sit down. And you can do it one of two ways. You can do it God's way or you can do it your way. I want you to know the Proverbs says that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The way of a fool is right in his own eye. But let's look what this has for us in the way of the walk. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Paul made a statement. He gave us a warning. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You've got to walk. You've got to walk. You've got to get up and go somewhere. Throughout this life, you're going to walk. You've got to walk. You're going to have to. You can either walk the wrong way and say, well, I don't feel like walking the hard way. You can walk the easy path, the broad way, or you can walk the narrow, the straight, and the hard way. But you're going to walk. You're going to have to walk. Paul said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. The fool thinks his way is right. The fool thinks his way is right, but he's going to death. The end thereof is the way of death and destruction. That's the way of a fool. Don't walk as fools, Paul said. Redeem the time. Take your walk and make it count for something. Go somewhere where there's something to get. Don't just walk down the road. Some people walk around the block. Well, sometimes that's good, I guess, if you have a destination to go, but just walk around the block sometimes gets you nowhere. You've made a destination, I agree. You have gone from one place to another in a roundabout way, but you really didn't accomplish anything. You didn't get something done. All you did was walk around the block. We need to walk, redeeming the time, head for a destination, go somewhere, get something done. We need to walk. Genesis chapter 7, when God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, he told him something. When Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me and be thou perfect. We serve an Almighty God today, and I hope you serve him or I don't think you'd be here. We serve an Almighty God. And God said, walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk. You have to walk. Walk before God and be thou perfect. The Bible says the blessed man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walk before God and be thou perfect. Straighten up your life. Straighten up your walk. Straighten up what you do. Whatever it has to be done. Walk before God and not before men. Walk not as a fool, but as a wise man, redeeming the time. Walk before God and be thou perfect. Walk. You have to walk. Then in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, God said, walk before me and be thou perfect. And he said, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee say, this is the way, walk thou in it. If you'll walk before God, seeking God's face, in God's word, planted by the rivers of water, there'll be direction in your life. There'll be a voice that says, this is the way, walk thou in it. There is a way you can walk. You can choose your way. Or you can let God choose your way. But there is a walk, and you must walk in it. And if you'll let God direct you, He'll tell you where to go. This is the way. Walk thou in it. The Bible has the way. If you'll get into it and be the blessed man and meditate day and night upon the Bible, you'll find the road signs. You'll find the guides. You'll find the map and the direction which way you have to go. And when you cut off to one side or you start to veer off to the other, God will say, no, this is the way. Walk thou in it. Go off to the right side, He'll bring you back and say, this is the way. Walk thou in it. You need to come to the point where you walk with God and not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Because the counsel of the ungodly will lead you to death, to destruction, the total annihilation of everything you've ever got, everything you ever had. This is the way. Walk thou in it. Then you're going to have to make a stand. When you get somewhere, when you've walked, you're going to make a stand. In Ephesians chapter 6, we find a little bit out about the stand. But you can make your stand either with the sinners, in the way of sinners, in the way of the righteous. And Jude 11 even talks about the way of Cain. There's different places you can make your stand in different ways, in different paths of life. You can make a stand in one way or another. The way of Cain was the way of religion, the way of false religion, the way of sacrifices, the way of good works, the way of good to go to heaven, the bad to go to hell. That was the way of Cain. The way of sinners is who cares about God? I'm going to do what I want to do. The way of the righteous, the way of salvation is I'm going to follow God's word. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. You have to stand. And you can stand against God and He'll wipe you out. You can stand with God and with His armor and you'll last. But put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To stand. And then 14 says, stand therefore. You have to stand. When you get where you're going, you're going to have to make a stand. You're going to have to say whatever it is. Now you can either walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and when you get in the way of the sinners, you can make a stand with the sinners and say, this is where I'm going to stand. This is where I make my stand. This is what I want to do, and this is why I want to do it. I'm going to make my stand right here. Or you can walk God's way in the counsel of the godly, in the light of the Word. And when you get to where you're going, you can make a stand with Jesus Christ. You can put on the whole armor of God and stand fighting. Stand as a conqueror with Jesus Christ. He said that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. If you want to be victorious, if you want to live this life and have victory at the end and make it throughout and make a good stand and a stand that's going to last and make you strong and give you glory and give you honor, make a stand with Jesus Christ. Make a stand with the whole armor of God. Stand against the devil and stand against sin. Take a stand. Take a stand. You either stand with Christ or you stand against Him. There is no middle ground. You can say, well, I just don't want to be a part of one or the other. I just want to let it go and see what happens. Well, then, my friend, I'm sorry. You stand against Jesus when you do. Because Jesus said if they're for us, they're for us. And if they're not for us, they're against us. You're either with or without. You're either in or you're out. There's no middle ground. You got to stand with or you got to stand against. The Bible says take a stand. Then Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Not only do you need to make a stand, not only will you make a stand somewhere, but God's looking for people to make a stand. You can make the stand. God here in this verse is talking about the nation Israel, that the hedge had been broken down and somebody needed to make it up. Somebody needed to repair it. And then while they were repairing it, while there was still a hole, somebody needed to stand in the gap before the Lord so He might not destroy the children of Israel. Their sins were grievous and His wrath was kindled. And all God wanted was a man that would get righteous before God and stand before God for the people. Do you have a burden to stand for anybody today? And oh, I don't know how well this would apply to the United States, but I guarantee you the hedge has been broken down. Sin is coming in and sin is going out. And we need people to stand for this nation before God utterly destroys it. If there are a few people get right with God and turn around and stand on the principles of God and stand before God and cry out, oh God, have mercy on this nation. This nation might last another 100 years. This nation might be able to live out this century even. It might even be able to make it through and be one of the sheep nations that God talks about in Matthew 24. This nation might last, but it's going to take some men with some guts. They can put on the whole armor of God and stand before God. and not stand in the way of sinners, not stand in the way of Cain. You got to stand with God, before God, for God, in God's purpose, or you're going to fall, I guarantee. You may make a stand in the wrong place, but you're going to get knocked down. You get knocked down over and over again, maybe even in the stand you take for God, but I guarantee you're going to come out the victor. You're going to come out on top, but you got to make a stand. And we need somebody to make a stand today. We need somebody to make a stand for this world. There are millions lost and dying throughout the world. People have never heard. Somebody needs to take a stand for them. Who's taking a stand for them? They're just wide open to sin. They don't even know much more. They don't know about the grace and the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. They never heard the name. Somebody needs to take a stand for them. Somebody needs to... And God is going to have to utterly destroy them and wipe them out because they're sinners and they're alienated from God. Somebody needs to take a stand. Somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to cry for those people. Somebody needs to get a burden for lost souls. Somebody needs to take a stand. We need to take a stand. We need to stand before God in the gap. We need to stand in the gap. It's time to take a stand. And after you take a stand, either ungodly or godly, righteous or unrighteous, after you take your stand, there's going to come a time to sit. If you take your stand in the seat of the sinners, in the way of sinners, if you walk after the counsel of the ungodly, then you're going to sit in the seat of the scornful. You're going to look back when you think it's time to quit. You say, well, I've tried it all and it doesn't work. I've tried religion, it's got nothing to it. And you're going to mock. You're going to scorn and you're going to laugh. And you say, oh, it's nothing. Who cares? You're going to sit in the seat of the scornful. You're going to think, well, it's nothing. I really don't want it. In fact, I disdain it. I loathe it. I hate it. That's the seat of the scornful. But I want you to know that the person who'll stand with God can be an overcomer. If you look in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, I'll show you where the overcomers are going to sit. Jesus Christ was an overcomer and he now sits on the right hand of God the Father. And the ungodly, finally, they sit down in the seat of the scornful and they're going to be destroyed and wiped out. But the overcomer, verse 21, Revelation chapter 3, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. You want glory, you want honor, you want victory, stand with God, overcome, and then sit down on his throne. You want to reign with Christ, stand with God, overcome, and you'll sit down there. That's your rest, millennium of rest. The people who sit in the seat of the scornful, the people who walk in the paths of the ungodly, in the paths of sinners, they're going to sit down and they're going to rest. And we're going to say, well, it's over. It is. Time is up and my day is coming. Eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. And they're going to have no rest for all the endless ages of eternity because they couldn't stand and they didn't overcome. They didn't take God at His word. They didn't become the blessed man. And they're going to perish in a place called hell. And yet you can take a stand. And you can stand with God. And you can reign with God. You may not be anything on this world, and you may even be tortured and scoffed at, mocked, scorned, just as Jesus was scorned. You may be crucified, martyred, beheaded, thrown to the lions, thrown to the snakes, thrown to the crocodiles, killed by cannibals, wherever, however. But I guarantee you, the day is coming when those who overcame and who stood with God, who put on the whole armor of God and fought a war that we can't see, a supernatural war, and overcame, when it comes time for their rest, it's going to be eternal rest. You're going to sit down with God on His throne. Sit down as an overcomer with the glory of God and be like Him. David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. And that's beautiful because one day I'm going to awake with Jesus' likeness. One of these days I'm going to be like Him. And one of these days I'm going to sit on His throne with Him. And you can sit there too. But we need to stand up. We need to stand up and overcome. We need to be overcomers and sit with Jesus on His throne. Then in verse 4 of Psalms chapter 1, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We've just talked about the blessed man, the godly man, the man who follows after God. The ungodly aren't so. The ungodly don't have a chance. They're not going to be remembered. They don't have any way of overcoming. They don't have any chance for victory. They're not like the blessed man who's planted by the rivers of water, because the Bible says they're like the chaff which the wind bloweth away. Now the chaff is when before they had all these fancy machines that we have now, that we think about now, what they did with wheat to get the grain out of the stalks They'd throw it up in the wind and the grain would fall down and everything else would blow away. It was called the chaff. That's just blown away. It doesn't take much to move it. It just blows away. It's not even heavy enough to fall straight to the ground. The wheat will fall down because it's heavy enough, because it's seed, because it's good. And the chaff just blows away. It's not stable. It's movable. It's blown with every wind of doctrine. It's blown here and there. Just anywhere the wind wants to take it, that's where it goes. It has no root. It has nothing to stand. It has nothing to hold it down. It's blowing. It just blows away. And they can't stand in judgment. They tried to stand against God here, and they couldn't do it. They took their stand, and now they're going to have to stand before God one day in judgment. And they're not going to be able to stand there. They're not going to be able to weather that storm. You and I can weather the storms here through Jesus Christ and through victory in Him, but they're not going to be able to weather that storm. They had it easy on this life. They made their minds up. They lived their way. They had their pleasure. They took their stance. They did what they wanted to do. But the day came when they're going to stand before God, and they're not going to be able to weather that storm. Whereas the Christian weathers the storms on this life. And one day he's going to stand before God, and he's going to be able to weather that storm. He's going to be able to weather because judgment's already been paid. I want you to know the godly man, the Christian, his judgment's been paid. He's already stood before God in judgment in Jesus Christ. The judgment's over. I'll not have to stand there. I won't have to weather that storm because I've weathered the storms here with Jesus, because I've stood with Jesus. But I want you to know, the ungodly can't stand in that storm. They're going to be wiped out. They're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. They're going to be cast down to hell. They're going to perish forever and ever. They won't be able to weather that storm, and they won't be able to stand with the righteous. They won't be able to stand in that congregation. They won't be able to stand with the people that God has chosen, with the people that God has called out, with the people that God has made righteous. They're just two different kinds of people. They'll be glorious and they'll be fools. Whereas they may have been the presidents on this earth, they're going to be just like dust spots on the floor up there. And everybody's going to sweep them out. They're not going to be wanted. They're not going to be had. And they're not going to be able to stand. They're going to have to run and hide their face because we're going to shine like the stars. And they're not going to be able to take it. They're not going to be able to stand in that. They're going to hell because they're ungodly. Because they don't know God. Because they haven't walked in His way. They haven't stood where He stood. They haven't sat with Him. I want you to know the ungodly are not so. They can't stand. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, verse 6, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now that's a blessing to know that God knows my way. Because Jesus Christ paid my debt, He made me righteous. I'm not righteous in myself, and I don't speak of myself as righteous because I'm a good man. But I speak of myself as righteous because Jesus Christ paid for my sin. He wiped my slate clean. I stand before you whole and righteous today before God Almighty. I may be the biggest sinner that the earth ever knew, but before God I'm righteous. And that's a blessing. And to know that the Lord knows my way. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord knows. He remembers. He considers. He recognizes where the righteous go. He recognizes what you've done. He recognizes what you've accomplished. He considers what you are and why you are, why you walk that way and what you've done along the way. He remembers. He takes care of. He watches over. He knows. But I want you to know, the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, I was looking at another verse one day, and I got to wonder, what does that word perish mean exactly? I always thought it meant to die, to maybe even die horribly or whatever. I didn't know exactly what it meant. So I looked it up in a simple children's dictionary, because that was the only one I had. And just a simple little explanation, definition of that term perish means to vanish or die without a trace. Completely. Wiped out. No trace. Nobody to mourn, nobody to care, nobody to remember. The ungodly are going to perish. That's a striking thought when you think about it. Because when they drop off into the pits of hell, they're not going to be remembered anymore. When you and I are in heaven and everybody else is in hell, we're not going to remember the sinners, the people that walked on the face of the earth that mocked and scoffed and scorned and abused God. No, they're not going to be remembered. They're not going to be lamented. Nobody's going to cry over them. Bible says in Proverbs that when you reject God's wisdom, reject the wisdom, they're going to mock and they're going to laugh when they throw them into the pit. And they're not going to remember. They're not going to care. You know, every man that I know of, and every man that you read about throughout his life and what he does with his life and his children, he tries to leave a memory, a remembrance of what he is and what he did. Great men of fame have left their marks upon history. But I want you to know the day's coming when the ungodly man is going to lie without a trace. He's going to be left without a memory. Nobody's going to remember him and nobody's going to care. Because all they're going to worry about, the sinner in hell, they're going to be worried about is his own torment. He's not going to care about the president that might be next to him in the next pit or next whatever. I don't understand all that much about hell. But
nobody in hell is going to remember each other because they're going to perish. They're going to vanish without a trace. And nobody in heaven is going to remember. Nobody in heaven is going to care. We're going to be shining and looking at Jesus. We're going to be in the glory of Jesus and His presence. And I guarantee you, I'm not going to care about this life anymore. I'm going to care about looking unto Jesus more than I care about it now. I'm going to care more about being what Jesus wants me to be, and being at the feet of Jesus and serving Jesus and just ministering to Jesus, just loving Jesus. And I couldn't care less what happens after that, what happened before that. I just want to be what Jesus wants me to be. Now I want you to know, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Thank you.
Hey.